This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And that song means it's time for Ray Fittipaldo to join us here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, talking all things football. Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I didn't know if I was going to see you or not with this YouTube face. So you are on video. I didn't know that.
I am home for a few more days. Next week, Bob, I will be at the Combine all week. So, yeah, we'll have to make it work another way next week for these hits.
Yeah, but you're always reliable, always there, and I look forward to it. So the Combine is coming up, and you know, this is the time of year where people speculate just about everything. I want to start with quarterback with you because that's the one position everybody gravitates to, and every name you hear comes up, speculation moves one way or the other, and, you know, I don't know what to believe anymore, but you're close to everything over there, and I'm just curious, do you get a feeling there in the market to make some sort of signing in free agency, or do you think it's going to be a choice simply of Fields or Wilson for one more year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a choice of either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. And I think, you know, people have heard by now, it's been reported that there's maybe a little bit of, I don't want to say division, but debate on, you know, who it's going to be. I think there are, you know, people in that building who want Justin Fields, and there are people who prefer, you know, a veteran who's been there and done that to you know, go along with, you know, some of the other aging vets who, you know, they want to take care of them. They want to win for guys like T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. So that's kind of the, you know, the push and pull right now. And just, you know, Bob, looking ahead to this year's draft, I was on a conference call with Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. It's not a great group of quarterbacks coming out of the college ranks. You know, he said yesterday Cam Ward, who I think everyone has as the number one QB this year, he would have been fifth in last year's draft class. Shador Sanders, who's probably number two behind Ward this year, would be like sixth or seventh, you know, in last year's draft class. So that sort of gives you an idea of what the Steelers might do here. I mean, they could take a stab at one in the middle rounds, but I think everything is setting up for either Wilson or Fields to be a bridge quarterback, and then maybe they go get their future starter in 2026 when the draft is supposed to be much better at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think that's the prudent way to go. And my, you know, my thought would be Fields would be the guy. I'd rather take my chances with a 25-year-old guy who I still think has upside versus what we've seen from Russell Wilson. All due respect, it's a Hall of Fame resume. But if you want to bring it back for another year, I don't know that it's going to be as productive at times as it was this past year. So we saw how it started. We saw how it ended. Are you, if you had to make a bet today on one of those two, would you go with Fields or go with Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing how, you know, Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith want to approach their offense. I mean, it is set up as a run-first offense, and they were much better overall in the running game when Justin Fields was in there. You know, Arthur Smith talks about this all the time. When you have a running threat in the behind center, the defenses have to account for him. And they don't have to do that for Russell Wilson. So it just makes it easier for him to scheme up, you know, good running plays. And, you know, I think that's the direction he's probably leaning. And just, you know, based on what Mike Tomlin has said over the years as well about quarterback mobility, how he really covets that in the quarterback, you know, I think Mike, you know, is probably trending in the Justin Fields camp as well. I don't know that for a fact, but just sort of reading the tea leaves based on what he said and what Arthur Smith has said throughout the season, I think Justin Fields is probably, you know, like they said last year, you know, he's in pole position. Russell was in pole position last year, I think, because of his vet status. I think this year, just based on everything, I would give a slight edge to Justin going into next week. We should find out next week or the week after, Bob. They can't prolong this
right
very much longer.
No, I think they need to make a decision. But you're right about, you know, having a running back who commands attention. We saw that in this, you know, Barkley with Philadelphia and how much attention that Kansas City had to pay to him. It opens things up down the field for others if you can find those others to make that possible. So that leads me into wide receiver and George Pickens. And, you know, a year left. Are you of the mindset, Ray, that they're going to just let this play out and see what happens? Or do you think they've seen enough and believe enough that they could sign him to an extension? Or do you believe they may even consider a trade?
Yeah, to me, and I know everyone wants to know about the quarterbacks next week when Omar talks, but for me, this is the number one topic of the offseason. What are they going to do with George Pickens? Because, you know, I would be in the camp of trading him because I think you can recoup some draft resources in a really good draft where you could take care of some other positions and likely reinvest in the receiver position. And then you would rid yourself of a guy who really hasn't fit here. I don't think there's any doubt, you know, say what you want about his on-field production. It's been good, Bob, but I don't think the production matches his talent level. Like, I think that guy is a top five talent, but he doesn't produce the numbers that a top five talent does. And you can blame that on the offensive line. You can blame that on the quarterback. You can blame that on the coaches. But the bottom line is he's not really producing big numbers for the Steelers. So when I sit back and I analyze, I just say, is it worth it? You know, all the headaches that come with George Pickens, is it worth it to have him on your roster and to deal with all the shenanigans that happened throughout the season? So that's where I am right now. I think, you know, the likely scenarios for me would be a trade or just playing it out one more year. But there's a lot of danger that comes with that, Bob. I mean, that can go real south real quick, you know, next fall if he's not on board.
Or it could go the other way. And I think we saw Najee Harris, you know, I think a lot of people wondered what would happen. They didn't pick up his option. Not that Pickens needs to have an option picked up, but he is in the final year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it brings out the best in a player who knows he has to know that how he is viewed this year will be absolutely traceable to this season. So maybe he gets the kind of production you want, and then you're, you know, probably forced to franchise him at that point. So I guess that is a risk involved. If they do what you say and trade him and acquire draft equity, that leaves them with not much in their wide receiving room. So I assume you think they're going to draft in the first round a wide receiver, and I also would assume you think they're going to sign somebody, right? And of the logical people, who would that be?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe it's even guys who are still on roster. So they're not pending free agents, but they're either going to be released or on the trading block. And, you know, the two names are Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel. You know, I could see the Steelers going after either of those guys, you know, particularly, Bob, if they're released, you know, their salary number is going to go way down from what it was. You know, Cooper Kupp at 32 isn't worth, you know, the $23, $24 million the Rams were going to pay him. That's why they want to trade him. And that's, you know, the same goes for Deebo Samuel. So I think you can probably get those guys at a pretty decent price. In terms of the draft, I mean, this is a good year for receivers. I wouldn't term it as great. But I think you can get a starting receiver, yes, certainly on round one if you want to go that route. But you could probably wait until round two to address it, maybe even round three. You know, that's a little bit more of a slippery slope. You know, they drafted Roman Wilson last year in round three. He didn't work out. He had injury. So you are taking a chance if you wait. But Yeah, I think certainly on the first 2 days of the draft, they will select a receiver for sure.
Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys that take your personal injury cases personally. So based on that, you're pretty much looking at a whole new wide receiving room here. I know that Roman Wilson was highly thought of. What has this year meant as far as the coaching staff belief in it? I know he's injured. I understand that comes with it, just like Faltano. I don't think they've soured on anyone. But does it hamper the way they maybe are viewed by coaches now, having missed an entire season?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so. I just think when guys get injured as early as he did, Bob, and I think he was injured on the third day of training camp, when you miss that big six-week chunk of practices and, you know, meetings, and everything is so condensed in training camp, but a lot of learning and teaching goes on there. When you miss that, it really just sets you back. So he came back for a short time, was injured again, and at that point they pretty much said, listen, you're not going to help us this year. We're going to keep you on IR, and you know, you'll be around the building and you'll learn, but you're not going to get to play. So I'm sure the Steelers are looking at it this way. With both Roman Wilson and Troy Faiotanu, they're looking at that like they got two guys who missed most of the season, and they're going to be almost like new draft picks in 2025. So they have like eight draft picks that they're going to choose in April, and Faiotanu and Wilson are going to be pretty much in that same boat because their rookie seasons were cut short. So the Steelers will try to, you know, spin that in a positive direction, and that's the way they're going to view it. And I think both those guys, certainly Faiotanu, have the potential to be impact starters next season.
Well, he needs to be, but Broderick Jones is the other guy who is part of this equation. Now that he moves to the other side, I know that's a natural position, so I would expect maybe improved numbers there in terms of sacks allowed. But what you've seen him in 2 years, where are you with Broderick Jones?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult part of the draft, right? Because everyone gets so excited this time of year. You know, we're all looking at who the Steelers are going to draft at 21. You know, Broderick Jones was drafted at 14, Bob, and it hasn't really worked out yet to this point. Now, I do think there is time, and I do think that going back to his natural left side is going to help him. I think that's going to, you know, do a lot for him just to have a home, right? He's been a team player. He's flipped over to the other side. He's done what's asked of him, but I don't know if that was necessarily the best thing for Broderick Jones. So this is a huge year for him. He's got to improve, and he's got to be really good on that left side for the Steelers' offensive line and for their long-term plan at offensive line to work. That was the foundation of Omar Khan and Andy Weidel's first couple of drafts, improve the offensive line. They've invested the resources, and now it's time for guys like Jones and Faiotanu. And, I thought Frazier played great as a rookie. And
McCormick,
you know, too. Mason McCormick. It's time for these guys to step up and, you know, become that dominant line that that Khan and Weidel and Tomlin think they can be.
Which is why I don't expect any of these draft picks to be offensive linemen this year. Instead, you got to concentrate on the other side of the ball, which was a big asset for a team like Philadelphia. So they got, you know, Cam Hayward coming back. The rest of them are kind of wild cards to me. I you know, Ogunjobi is one of those guys who, man, you can save money there. Benton, I don't know. I had higher hopes for Benton. Leal has regressed. Is that me? Hopefully not. I thought I heard a buzzing sound there, Joel. I thought maybe I was creating a problem. But Loudermilk, all those guys you could put into the same thing, they have not taken a step forward. So where does that leave them, and how many of these draft picks will be defensive linemen?
Well, certainly one early, and I could see them taking two in this draft. And I have a story up at PostGazette.com right now that is looking at this very deep defensive tackles class. And, you know, one thing Daniel Jeremiah said yesterday is, you know, these big nose tackle types, I don't even know if you have a true Casey Hampton style nose tackle anymore coming out of the college ranks, but you do have these guys who are known as run stuffers, and they are much more valuable in today's NFL than maybe they were 5 or 10 years ago, just because of what you mentioned before, you know, Saquon Barkley, you know, Derrick Henry. You know, the Steelers gave up what? In the final two games against the Ravens, Bob, I think they gave up over 500 yards rushing. Yeah. So they got to fix the run defense. First of all, I think the number one domino to fall is, what do they do with Ogunjobi? You could save $8 million if you cut him. That's probably going to happen. And then what do you want to do with Keanu Benton? He's a smaller type of a nose. Do you want to draft a big guy to plug in the middle and then move Benton to replace Ogunjobi? Or do you want to keep Benton where he is and then draft Ogunjobi's replacement? So they got a lot of different paths they could take there. But certainly defensive line is very deep, and it's a great year for the Steelers to try to rebuild that, you know, that front seven.
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. And there's still other holes beyond that. You know, I look at cornerback position. I'm not sure where they are with Jackson and anyone else. They need help there. You got to have depth at that position, especially if you don't get the kind of pressure up front that you desire to get. I guess it's on the board, but how important is that position with regard to this draft coming up?
Yeah, again, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Jackson. You know, I thought he was good, and then he was banged up and injured for the final 6 weeks of the season, which, you know, was not a great development for him or for the team, to be quite honest with you. So if they go back to Jackson, that's fine. But if not, you know, you're probably going to have to invest in free agency in a corner and maybe even in the draft. Now, this is probably it's a decent year for corners. You know, there's maybe one or two that you might see go in the first round, but there's guys that you can get second, third round who, you know, might be able to come in and challenge for a job. If not this year, then maybe next year. So, I think depending on what happens with Jackson, I can see them going out and signing a corner in free agency, and then maybe taking a flyer on one, say, you know, round two, three, four, something like that, just to get some fresh bodies in there, because it has kind of been like a rotating door there. Guys in and out, nobody that they can really count on opposite Joey Porter.
You know, a lot of people, and I look at the text line to get results from what people think, and people have come to the conclusion now with an increased salary cap and with some shedding of contracts, there's going to be a lot of money to spend, which people love to spend. I understand that. But there are lessons learned. I looked at the Jets yesterday because, man, you talk about dead money hits. They spent over $110 million on Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. And it's going to cost them, and they didn't get much in return. 66 games, not a lot of productive days. It's going to cost them $64 million in dead cap charges this year, and they got nothing out of that. So it is dangerous to go and just do it all that way, but I got to believe they're going to some. I want to ask you about Najee Harris, because Jerry seemed to indicate that there maybe is a belief that they're going to bring him back. And I would say to that, if that was their thought process, then maybe they should have picked up that option last year. They didn't.
Right.
Because they didn't, it'll cost them more if they want to do it. So is it reasonable to expect that he would come back?
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, $6.7 million on the option if they picked it up last May. And now you probably are, you know, the market for a guy like Harris is probably beyond that. So you are right about that. It's a little curious to me. I mean, I trust Jerry's sourcing on that, but it is a little bit curious to me that they would want to do that. And just because this running backs class coming out in this draft is loaded, Bob. I mean, you can get guys, you can get starter capable players in 1, 2, 3, even in the fourth round. It's that deep. And, you know, I don't even know if the Steelers need like a workhorse type of a starter. They maybe just need like a guy that they could pair with Jalen Warren. So, you know, we'll see what direction that goes here. You know, I tend to think, you know, just given the way this draft is, that you're maybe better off going with Warren and drafting a guy. But Mike Tomlin does love Najee Harris. He made him a captain in year two, and that's been his guy. So maybe it is going to turn out that way.
Are you of the belief that Jalen Warren can be an every down back, a three down back?
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to be. I mean, you look at Najee Harris, year one, Bob, rookie year, had the most touches in the NFL, I think 426, just blew away everyone else. After that, they got really smart. And if you look at the snap distribution and the carry distribution the last three seasons since Warren came on the scene, it's been pretty much a 50-50 split, if not 50-50, 55-45. So, you know, I don't know that they need, like, that type of a guy. You know, just get a guy who can come in and split time with Warren. Warren's probably going to play the same number of snaps, and whoever you draft or whoever you bring in can sort of pick up and have Warren's old role. So that's the way I would do it. And quite frankly, Bob, that's the way most teams do it. Even Saquon Barkley and the Eagles. I mean, who killed the Steelers in that Eagles game more? Saquon Barkley or the other guy who scored a couple touchdowns?
Yeah, Gainwell.
Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah.
Kenneth Gainwell did more damage. So even the Eagles, when they're paying Saquon Barkley all that money, even they have a guy who comes in and, you know, can really do damage to a defense as well.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason, and I think it all starts with a draft combine coming up. And, Ray, I look forward to your coverage. You do a great job with it. I look forward to having you on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown when you come back from that, and we'll see you down the road. Also, want to mention one more time that Ray is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases very personally. Thanks, Ray. Have a good trip to Indianapolis.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette talking Steelers and a lot of the things which haven't changed all that much. You know the list. There's a lot of people on the list that they have to figure out, whether that's contract extension, whether that's just moving on from somebody and saving some money when they can. I also think T.J. Watt, this has been a topic that we've had over and over and over, and they're going to have to figure out money for him now, I would imagine. So if you do that, that's going to take up, and I would imagine he wants and deserves whatever is the top market. He's been that way. But if you're going to do it for another 3 or 4 years, you know, be mindful of the fact that he is getting older, and I know they want him to be around here and what he means to this team. But there is that train of thought that if you trade him, you could really get some draft equity. Ray mentioned Pickens in a trade. What about T.J. Watt if that were available? I don't know if they're going to do that. It seems to me they won't do it. But it could certainly bring in a bushel full of good things that you could use to help your current situation on offense. So these are all fascinating questions. We'll continue to take your calls on it at 412-928-9370. But want to remind you, 93.7 The Fan is turning 15 years old, and you're invited to an anniversary party next Wednesday, February 26th at Rivers Casino. The party is going to be free, but you need a ticket to get in. Visit Hampton Beer Outlet in Allison Park today from 4 to 5. The first 10 people get a pair of tickets to the event. Again, that's today from 4 to 5 at Hampton Beer Outlet in Allison Park. Special drawing at 5 o'clock for an extra pair of tickets. And we'll keep reminding you throughout the next several days. Open lines are next, 412-928-9370. Also, hit us up on the Fan text line, same as a call-in line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. More calls on the way. We're talking Steelers. We're talking the Four Nations. Your thoughts about it. The Penguins now jump right back into action tomorrow. That's a quick turn for some of these guys who played. Not much time to rest up. And back-to-back games with the Capitals and the Rangers over the weekend. Do they have a shot to get to the playoffs? And if not, what does Kyle Dubas do on the March 7th trade deadline? All next, right here on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.